Booking a Vrbo vacation rental means you get Vrbo care and 24/7 life support, verified reviews from real guests, and top-rated homes with the Love by Guest filter.
I just booked my Vrbo because there was a sweet wine fridge.
We all have our reasons. If you know, you Vrbo. Terms apply. See Vrbo.com/trust for details.
At Edward Jones, we believe rich is more than caring about the latest and greatest. It's also taking care of what gives your life meaning. That's why your dedicated financial advisor meets you where you are with personalized financial strategies that help protect what matters so you can preserve your progress while creating a path forward. The key to being rich is knowing what counts. Let's find your rich together. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Fall is the perfect time to refresh and reorganize your space. At the Home Depot, find power tools and tool sets starting at $50 to help tackle DIY projects, home updates, and more. Whether you're drilling brackets to support new shelving or sharpening your hedge trimmer blade with an angle grinder, the Home Depot has the tools you need to check projects off your list. Shop Labor Day savings at the Home Depot and gear up for fall projects with the right tools to keep your projects moving.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I'm Bart Winkler, September 3rd, 2026. We got a couple of things to do here on the podcast. Want to talk some Brewers Cubs as that series continues. Brewers will do no worse than split it. Jay Kokorowski from Badger Observer. I can say that word right. Observer, BadgerObserver.com will join us. He has the Substack available for you. Really good deals. You can be a free subscriber. You can be paid. I think he's only charging like $2 a month right now, some deal. Also, if you are a free subscriber, you get 5 paid articles a month. And he's covering volleyball and he's covering football. Now, volleyball is in an insane start to their season. Like they're playing, everyone they're playing is like top 8. And then football is starting against number 4 Notre Dame. So both teams testing themselves early, but probably with different results. We'll get into that with Jake Kokorowski. It's a Jake episode as Jake Newborn will join us also from the Wisconsin Bike Fed. We're going to talk bike safety tips. The Wisconsin Bike Fed is really stressing here in the month of September about bike safety. They stress bike safety all year long, but they're also doing it with us in September. So we are partnering the podcast. We have a partnership, folks, with the Wisconsin Bike Fed. When that means you're going to see graphics, you're going to see posts, you're going to hear me talk about them. This is a partnership. We want you to be safe because guess what? I don't got enough. We're doing very well. I'm very satisfied with the podcast. I'm very proud of it. It makes me emotional. I would love to continue for it to grow. I would love to continue for more opportunities for me and you. So I want more events. I want more tailgates. I want more of that kind of shit. Basically, I want this to do well so that I can not get a real job. And also, I can continue to lavish and shower you guys with fun, free events where I give you stuff. So that's the goal here. So support our sponsors. If I can't be any more clear, because then I'll turn around and scratch your back also. So the Wisconsin Bike Fed, it's very important this month because it gets a little darker earlier. And this is even before daylight savings time, mind you, the crashes that involve people and vulnerable users of the road. We're talking people walking, kids running out in the street, getting their ball. That happened the other night. That happens the most in the fall months during the evening hours. So that's why we are partnering with the Wisconsin Bike Fed to remind people driving and people that are biking, use your lights as daylight hours wane. If you're ever on the road and you're thinking, should I have my lights on? Put them on. Or just go to auto. Don't have your lights off. Okay? There's people that need to see and use the road and you need to see them. So when you're operating near other users, be aware, slow down and look around. Slow down and look around. And we'll all do our part to reduce low light crashes. Be visible, be predictable on the road. Help everyone get to where they want to go safely. Again, wisconsinbikefed.org for more details about this, safety, and events that they put on throughout the year, including some free ones. So check that out, WisconsinBikeFed.org. Brewers get the win against the Cubs last night. The series is split at minimum. Hopefully the Brewers can win one more game and really shut these guys up. It's interesting because these Brewers-Cubs games, they do feel bigger than one of one or one of 162. And I'm constantly talking about how I wish with 162 games, some of these games did feel bigger. I'm constantly talking about that. And it'd be good for baseball. But these games almost feel too big. There's too much on the line. And it's different in Wrigley. I feel like the Brewers can't win in Wrigley, even though one of their biggest wins ever was in Wrigley. But whenever they take a lead in Wrigley, I'm like so scared. Nico Horner jumping in. Who was it yesterday? Yeah, Horner. 0 for 4, but my God, he saved about 18 runs defensively. The Frelick one I thought for sure was getting down. But the Brewers hang on 9-5, and it's going to piss off Cubs fans more because they got to Miz. 92 pitches, 4 innings, 5 earned runs. Struck out 5, but then they got to Miz. And then guess how many hits they got the rest of the game? 1. Brewers went Romero, Sensatella, the two trade targets, Uribe, Ashby. They put those guys in based on where they are in the order. So Ashby got the 8th, and then McGill closing it out, although not a save opportunity. But against Chicago, you know, it might as well be. You can cover that one. We got to David Peterson pretty good, the former Met early. And then the Cubs bullpen is just not the Brewers bullpen. So they were able to add on runs. Christian Yelich, pinch hit, a 2-for-3 night. You don't see that much. If Yelly is Yelly, we got something cooking here, folks. So great to see the Brewers at least not let the Cubs gain any ground on them in the Wrigley portion of these 7 games. Brewers currently up 9 games on Chicago in the Central. I did talk shit the other day, talk shit, get hit. I did talk shit that I'd like to see the Brewers, if they can, try to knock the Cubs out of the postseason. That's not going to happen. They're still 4.5 up of the Diamondbacks, but they're no longer wild card team number one. So if you want the Cubs out, continue to root for Brewers, duh. Diamondbacks and Padres and Marlins you're pulling for, and even maybe the Cardinals a little bit. I mean, it's going to be a pretty massive collapse if the Cubs don't make the playoffs. But there's a month left, and I don't care how unlikely it is. It's something I want to see happen, so I'm going to root for it. I don't know why we always do these weird things. Like, I personally needed the juice of, hey, maybe we can knock the Cubs out of the playoffs. Look what Brewers fans are saying. No, I'm just one. I didn't jinx anything. They won 2 games. They won a game, Miz struggled. Didn't jinx anything. I got some Carl's Place voicemails to play. Remember Carl's Place? My link is available on YouTube and at the website, bartwinklershow.com, still exists. But I got a couple of voicemails. You can leave your voicemail, 402-915-BART, 402-915-2278. And the voicemails are courtesy of Carl's Place. This one is, it's that time of the year. It's Teacher Tom again. Tom.
My question of the week, thinking of the Brewers and what I just heard Paul Imig saying about the team. Last year, if the Brewers did not have a first round bye, so if they had won in the wild card round and then beat the Cubs in the divisional round, we would think differently of the team and not as much of a failure. I think it sometimes gets overlooked a little bit because they only won one round of the playoffs. If there was no bye and they had won 2 rounds, we might feel a little bit differently about how the season finished. Bye.
That's a good question. I don't agree with it at all. But it is a good question. And I know I don't agree with it at all because I've never thought of it up until this point. I've never thought, well, I wish the Brewers had another series win. I would think of that more. Because when I'm thinking back to the Dodgers, when they played them in 2018, I mean, I don't even remember how they got there. Rockies. Oh, that was the Cubs wild card, Rockies. And then they play someone else? Or was that it at the time? Yeah. See, I don't even remember. Top of my head. What matters is where you get. So another series would have had more games at Miller Park and more games to celebrate. But they also can't win first round series, they've proven, so they need the bye. So I don't agree. I'm on that. I get your question. I am saying no to the question, which for some reason I really feel I need to soften the blow. But I'm saying mm-mm. All right. Matthew in Chicago also leaves a voicemail. Winklerverse listeners may know Matthew as the guy I called from my mother-in-law's basement when I thought I was calling a spammer. I had this number saved in my phone. It was Matthew. And he picked up at 12 at night on a Friday. Sober. Sounded great. So here's Matthew from Chicago.
Bart, what's going on, man? It's Matthew with Chicago. It's Tuesday. It's about 11 o'clock, man. Hey, listen, I was at the game last night versus the Brewers at Wrigley. It was my birthday. I was there with my auntie. Man, y'all got me worked up, man. Andrew Vaughn pitching 39 miles per hour, 41 miles per hour, rainbows. The man, what is that, man? Even though the Cubs teed off, that, bro, you telling me he can't pitch or he can't throw the ball a little faster than that and try a little bit? Just try, bro. I don't care if the Cubs teeing off and hitting all these home runs. That's some padded stats, man. That's some bush league, man. I don't like that, bro. Y'all tricking with that one, man. That's all I got to say, Bart. I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Vaughn gave up 7 runs. At some point, if you're a Cub up there, but if you're – so you want Andrew Vaughn to try harder. I don't know. They just got to – like, we do intentional walks now. Can't we just say, we have a position pitcher, take 3 runs, sort them out however you want. You're in a home run chase, give that guy a home run. We don't fucking care. We don't have, dude, you really have to subject us to this. Or let a fan pitch out of the stands. Let Rowan Gardner's probably at the game. Let him pitch. Oh, no, it sucks. Stupid. Now, if you had 40-man rosters, you could just throw out some meat there. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Just don't. The answer is don't give up 10 runs before you bring in Andrew Vaughn, but no, I like that. All right, we'll talk to Jake. And then we'll talk to Jake. More voicemails. I still want to mention the Steve Ballmer situation with the Clippers and how that might affect the Bucks. Tease. So we got a lot to get to here on this episode of Into the Winklerverse. Don't go anywhere, please. We'll be right back. I don't have a wait on the Winkler. I could just say on 105.7. No, how did McGivern do it? FM. He banged on the table. It was his calling card. 105.7 FM. He goes, to fan. What are you doing? I miss Mac. All right, we'll be back.
With Cricket Wireless, you can count on reliable nationwide 5G because Cricket Wireless is on the AT&T network, which means you can start listening to that new album that just dropped at home while running errands and at the gym without any hiccups. Find plans with unlimited data for every lifestyle and price point. Switch to Cricket today.
The new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is now at McDonald's, made with freeze-dried dragon fruit. And made to lock in. The all-new Energizer, now at McDonald's.
Into the Winklerverse is being entered by Jay Kokorowski, Badger Observer. You can check out all his work there. A lot of good stuff regarding the Badgers, and I would contend, I don't want to discredit anybody, but I don't think there ain't nobody covering Badger volleyball like you. Now, this is September 3rd. Badger football's got the big game against Notre Dame coming up. Badger volleyball, Very interesting start to the year. They're 2-3. They've got a big one again tonight. Is that right?
Yep, you're right.
They got Florida tonight, or not? The Florida was last night. Auburn tonight. But listen to this. So they're 2-3. Mm-hmm. They lost to number 3 Kentucky. They beat number 7 Louisville. They lost to number 5 Stanford, number 4 Pittsburgh. Just beat at the Fieldhouse number 17 Florida. As you see, like, Minnesota's there, I think, Auburn. So, like, the thing with volleyball is they're playing a lot of the good competition right away. But then once they get, you know, into the conference, a lot of teams are ranked 2, including number 1 Nebraska. So is this intentional that they want to just every good team we want to play? I know volleyball's kind of rising maybe more than any other sport, like, I was going to say per capita, but you know what I mean. But yeah, this volleyball team, is this by design? Are they getting the results they were hoping for with the start of the non-con?
Yeah, I remember listening to Kelly Sheffield during Big Ten volleyball media days when they had the Zoom, since I wasn't able to make it down to Chicago. And I think he had mentioned something about along the lines of just how many times they said yes to playing teams. And, you know, this is it's a young team, right, where – you bring in, yeah, there are 2 transfers. Jayla August is the key, the All-American middle blocker who came from Florida, who didn't play last night's match. But, you know, and you have Ava Travis, who came from UC Santa Barbara as an outside hitter. But you have 9 freshmen, right? And it's a highly touted 2026 class. There's 9 freshmen on this roster as of Thursday morning. That includes Destley's champion, who's from Puerto Rico, who just competed for the Puerto Rican national team, women's national team, in a tournament, just was it last week. And I was watching that online, where, you know, she's, you know, she's a 2027 recruit that reclassified. So there, and that's on top of arguably the best recruiting class in the nation for 2026, where you had, you know, Lenny Tarno, middle blocker, you had, you know, 2 of the best outside hitters in my eyes, you know, in the 26th class, and Audrey Flanagan and Hallie Thompson come in too. And it is so there's a lot. And then you bring in someone like Anna Bardero, who's from Italy. So she's the typical freshman. So there's so many different pieces, right? And it's new faces and whatnot. And even with all that, they were ranked number 6 to start the season. And now, yeah, even going 1-3, last week, they moved up a spot this week to number 5. And so, but yeah, but you mentioned it. Yeah, it's, you know, getting this. It's, this is a way to mold the program, the current iteration of this team, you know, and kind of show, like, hey, yeah, I mean, and then let me prep back up too. Sure. A lot of these, you know, the freshmen like Tarno, Thompson, Isabel Hoppe, who's a backup setter, Kamora Scott, who started last night against Florida, who had a great game, Hallie Thompson, Audrey Flanagan, they all came in the spring. So they're early enrollees, like what they do in football. And that spring session really helped them grow too, because I don't know if they'd be where they are at if they came in normally, when, you know, a lot of freshmen used to come in June. So, you know, so they've had this experience. But yeah, this is a, you know, baptism by fire type of situation where you were going to see, you know, not only that, I mean, you look at the rankings now, Pittsburgh's 2 in the ABC rankings, Kentucky's still 3, Stanford's number 4, and Louisville's 6. And so, you know, and then they, you know, Florida was 17, like you mentioned. So you have this really tough non-conference schedule, but then next week they go to face Texas, who's number 9. They go play Texas A&M, defending national champions, who lost to Purdue earlier this week, but they're number 12. In the nation. So you have this, like, yeah, it's a murderer's row of non-conference that should get them up to what I think Sheffield and his staff hope is, like, okay, this is big time college volleyball. And you mentioned it too, the number of televised games, you know, like there's, like, I believe 19 or 20, I think it's 19 games that are going to be televised that fans don't need Big Ten Plus for. So, you know, it's, yeah. And so they've had plenty of, you know, experience. And to me, you know, it's, you know, last night's game in particular, you know, Florida's a really tough team and they beat Minnesota, you know, the night before. And yeah, it was a gritty 5-set type of win where, you know, they didn't have their great service game from the, you know, in terms of service aces, you know, they're still developing the blocking aspect at the net, where Florida dominated like 16-8 in blocks, but you have this, but, you know, they found a way. They gritted it out. They had the young freshmen step up. And that's what, you know, this non-conference schedule allows them to do is just, hey, okay, this is what it is. And it's going to prep you for, you know, a really, again, a extremely potent Big Ten schedule too.
You're looking at like college football, and there seems to be more of a tendency where the big schools maybe don't want to play each other as much as they used to. They don't want that one loss or the whatever. But in volleyball, that is happening more, which, and it's all kind of like a perfect storm. So I'm a big TV nerd, all right, big TV guy. And what I've noticed, and I think what maybe people have noticed without noticing, is the place to be for sports is once again broadcast television. There's sports on Netflix. There's sports on cable. But the broadcast networks, Fox, ABC, yep, CBS, NBC, even the CW, there's like, I think it's this Saturday. There was a Saturday they're doing a football game, wrestling, racing. Like they're into it because broadcast television doesn't want to spend money anymore on shows they're not getting a return on. So if it costs $9 million to make a lawyer show, punt it. Instead, football, sports, you know, NBC's got Sunday night covered the rest of the year. Volleyball,
yes,
which seems to be rising on its own, like, interest, is now intersecting with broadcast television when they need live sports to not die. So what you're seeing is, I think it was last Friday, Fox had a doubleheader of volleyball. There's a bunch of volleyball on ABC as well. During the football season, there's weeks Fox only has one game. They're going to show a volleyball game after that, which is going to be a big lead-in. So it's all happening at a good time for volleyball. Are you covering this sport and seeing, are you feeling that growth when you go there night in and night out?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it goes to even like the first two weekends, right? I wasn't in Pittsburgh for the opening Spike Classic last weekend, but I was in Milwaukee for the AVCA First Serve, where they bring in all this talent, right? They had Kentucky, Louisville, Texas, Arizona State, which, you know, is vaulted up the standings until what are they now? Number 7 in the nation. You know, they bring in these like high profile teams, and you're seeing that grow. That's where you get the national broadcast, right? Where Wisconsin's on for a good chunk of the opening weekends. And, you know, it is, I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, with Badger Observer, I try to do is, you know, hey, you know, there are only, you know, a couple of consistent outlets that were covering this volleyball program. And look, they're national champions back in 2021, right? And you saw just how this team, you know, how just what Kelly Sheffield's done. And there is an audience. I can tell you that based off of views on videos, the views and articles, the subscribers that sign up from, you know, the volleyball coverage. And I mean, and on top of that, I mean, Wisconsin's turned into a blue blood program. So in my eyes, so that's why we cover, you know, volleyball so extensively. And so but back to what you said, yeah, it is a growing sport, and and it's exciting to watch. You know, you just, you know, pop on a match, and you're just, you know, if I'm working and if it's not Wisconsin watching, like, okay, if it's an opponent, it'll be on in the background when I'm getting other stuff done. But it's high pace. Sometimes you get distracted because you see, you know, the number of volleys. Like last night, for example, you know, granted it's Wisconsin in Florida, so it's not an opponent, but sometimes you get caught into just the volleys back and forth and the rallies that the teams have and the athleticism of diving across the court and saving the ball where it may be a free ball over. But do you know how much it took with them sprinting one part of the court to the other, hitting it up, having the coordination to call it off, you know, with 6 players on the court and whatnot. So you're seeing that, and that, you know, you're seeing that, but you're also seeing the growth in the media outlets. I know, you know, I have a couple of friends over in Nebraska, Amy Justin, Aaron Sorensen, that just started a Sick Zone Duo, which is a volleyball only podcast, and which is an extension of Split Zone Duo, the football podcast from a couple of people that, used to work for SB Nation. So, you know, there is, you know, you're seeing the growth of volleyball, not just, you know, the attendance, which, by the way, like last night, they're over, I think, you know, be reported set over 7,000. I think it was like 7,200 fans on a Wednesday night. And it was at, this match didn't start till, you know, 45 minutes after the, you know, 7 o'clock, just because Minnesota Auburn went late. But a good chunk of them, the vast majority, stayed until that fifth set, which didn't end till like after 10 o'clock. So that's a, you know, a testament to like the fan base, you know, especially with Wisconsin being so rabid and a smart fan base that the Badgers fans are. Like, you can hear them all back and forth, you know, when like I'm writing in where the media row is and you can hear what they're saying. But yeah, it's growing. And you're also seeing that professionally too, where there are two professional leagues in the United States that's growing. And it's not just the overseas that where players are playing now. You have, you know, Love, Love League One volleyball. And then you also have Major League Volleyball too. And so, yeah, sport's growing, man.
Jay Kukurowski did a nice job of promoting somebody else's pod in Nebraska and their work. Your work is Badger Observer on Substack. You got a lot of great ways for people to enjoy the content very affordably, as I lead you in now to tell us about it, Jake.
I appreciate the plug, my friend. Yeah, right now, you know, we are nearing, like, I think we're right around 955-ish total subscribers, free and paid. Hey, y'all, like, I'm burning the candle at both ends covering Wisconsin volleyball, Wisconsin football. Obviously, I'll be up in Green Bay for the game against I know, see it going back and forth between the two sports. Number four, Notre Dame, covering high school recruiting. I'm not going to go out to recruiting this weekend because I'm busy with volleyball and some football previews. But I've covered recruiting the past couple weekends too. $2 a month or $20 a year right now is a deal for everybody. And hey, if you're a free subscriber, like, I've set up a cool thing with Substack, or Substack set it up on their own, where I basically five free paywalled pieces of content per month. So you get the free, but you also get up, I think it should be up to five per month there. So give me a try. Like, help support local, independent, growing journalism and whatnot. And I can't believe it's already been 1 year since I started it, and seeing the growth, and just really thankful for it and hoping to continue going forward.
There are not a lot of rules here in the Winklerverse. But one is, when a dog pops up on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream, I need to know the dog's name.
That is Charlie Grace. So she is our Charlie. You see Uncle Bart? Let's see if I can see him. You see Uncle Bart? There's Uncle Bart. Yeah, now she is a, we've had her for, 8 years now. She's about nine. So boxer lab mix. She's a good girl for the most part.
The most reaction I ever got to, I won't say all radio, but I'll say per, like, okay, so I would say a top 10 reaction segment that I've ever done. I did a segment once on music radio in Fond du Lac where I was barking like a dog. And then I got a lot of complaint calls because a lot of people leave the radio on for dogs. And so their dog started barking.
That's phenomenal.
And then I realized I might have more dog listeners than human. And that was a tough day in Fond du Lac at K107.1. We play your music. Charlie Grace, welcome into the Winklerverse. The football match this weekend, Badgers and Notre Dame. It's at Lambeau. I haven't been like ingesting Badger preseason news the way that I am Packers, or that I might in a normal year. What I am picking up from the tangential vibe I'm getting is that I don't know if the Badgers are as confident in themselves as they're really saying, but they are saying it. They feel good, it seems, about what they have. They feel good about who's there. And so, like volleyball, it's nice to get tested right away, but volleyball's testing against like competition they can beat and are equal with. I don't think a lot of Badger fans are too excited for what the score might be come this weekend.
There were strides made this offseason, and I feel with the offense.
Well, Luke Fickell's done wearing that vest, right? I think. Did I hear that?
I thought the team thing
was gone. I thought I heard that.
I'm going to have to take a – I know that he didn't wear it for, I think, a number of games last year, but I'm not exactly
– good.
I thought so, right? Well, I thought so. Maybe I'm wrong there. But, yeah, last year feels like 10 years ago, by the way, the way things are going now it is. But, yeah, don't quote me on that about the vest. But, we'll see whether or not that's there on Sunday. But for Wisconsin, you know, this is a team. I know Matt Young from Nina, you know, is, you know, home state kid, you know, talked about on Tuesday how he wants to essentially, you know, like this is a chance for them to see if they've closed the gap. And it is. I mean, this is a very hungry Notre Dame team that felt they were wronged with not making the college football playoff last year. And they have, you know, yeah, they lose Jeremiah Young and, you know, Jadarian Price, but, you know, they still have CJ Carr and a really good offensive line, and their defense will be, people say arguably, I say arguably the best, but really, I don't know if there's a chance that Notre Dame, that's going to be a tougher defense Wisconsin will face all season. But, you know, it is a good litmus test to see, okay, just how much have you closed the gap? Because they bring in 35 transfers during the off season. They, you know, revamp, they bring in a new offensive line coach and a couple others. You know, they've made inroads off the field. You know, they've made inroads with the alumni, with the hire of Brady Ewing as, you know, the director of alumni relations, which was arguably the best hire they've made. And that's saying something with how much I think Eric Mateos has done a good job with the offensive line. But, you know, yeah, I don't think the defense is going to be a question. I think they're going to be stout. They reloaded the defensive line. I think they may have a three deep of game ready interior defensive linemen. I think they're diverse and versatile at the outside linebacker spots. And I think they remade the secondary. So I think the defense is going to be good. The offense, obviously, is the big question. And they were able, even against the first team offense at times during fall camp, opening up some holes with that type of wide zone scheme that Jeff Grimes brought over from, you know, BYU and Baylor and Kansas. And, you know, I think Colton Joseph will make a huge impact at quarterback, especially running the ball, passing. I think there's still questions regarding just, you know, who can emerge as a vertical deep threat and who becomes, if there is a number one type of receiver at the moment, and if not, who will over the course of the year. But I would say there is, Luke Fickell said it. He thought they had a great fall camp. And I agree, where I feel like you can feel that the physicality, the leadership, things feel more cohesive when it comes to Wisconsin and just what they're trying to do. And I think there's a greater chance for complimentary football this year. The question against Notre Dame is like, is that going to show up right off the bat against a team that's, you know, not just favored to make it to the college football playoff, but to make a deep run.
So on AEW last night, James.
Yes. I did not get to watch, but.
Well, I'll tell you one thing Will Ospreay said.
What did he say?
The new AEW champ. He said, Kenny! I don't have it. Bruv, you're a better wrestler than me, bruv. he said, 99, impression done. He said, 99 out of 100 days, you're a better wrestler than me. But I only needed one day to be champion. I'm going to ask you an over under for if they played 100 times,
ooh,
how many times would the Badgers win? Initially, in my head, I was thinking to say 10.5, but I feel like that might be too high. I don't have a lot of confidence in this weekend.
I mean, it's going to take a lot for Wisconsin to. You know,
there's a chance they can win one out of 100. I don't think it's higher than two.
I think what they're going to have to do is, it's one thing that they've been trying to work on during fall camp, and that's the, you know, turnovers. You know, they only had 5 interceptions last year. I think they only, and whatnot. And when you have this, they've did a good job during fall camp to create pressure and create turnovers. And that's going to, they also like punched the ball out for some fumbles during a stretch of fall camp too, that were open to reporters. So I believe there will be improvements, you know, in that regard. I think, we all know in the game of football, if you can equalize a game, special teams and turnovers, that's how you can flip it and make it close. So if Wisconsin can increase those turnovers, put pressure on CJ Carr, which I think they can, I think they have, you know, a really good 1-2 punch off the edge with Nick Clayton, Sebastian Cheeks is probably the fall camp player of the, he was a player of fall camp, just consistently against the first team offensive line, he's getting into the backfield and you know, would be sacks, so they're not going live on quarterbacks. I think Mason Posa and Cooper Camelotto can get pressure up the middle. And I also think the Nick, you know, like the secondary, maybe opportunities for blitzes there. And yeah, you can see my dog in the background doing weird stuff. I don't know what she's doing. This is what she does on every podcast I do. Charlie, enough. There you go. Okay. Anyways, but with Wisconsin, I think, you know, but yeah, those are going to be the equalizers. You know, punting, can Sean West, you know, if they're, can they down, can he boot it as far as we think he can? And can he also put in a direction where they're backed up, which, you know, field position is going to be big. I think to start the game, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a high scoring affair, especially on Wisconsin side, but I think Wisconsin's defense can match up pretty decently with Notre Dame. But again, like I said, field position, special teams, win the turnover battle, you got yourself a shot. So, but that's, again, those are questions. Those are tough questions to answer right now on paper, because everyone says that, you know, they feel they've closed the gap. Well, okay, let's see what you do against someone that's, you know, should be playing in the postseason in December for a big trophy.
And I think it's a better odds than 1 in 14 billion or whatever Dr. Strange's odds were. Whether he saw Doom or not, too, that's another question. But comment?
No, I was going to say, I'm excited for those. I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man was really good.
I'm worried about Doomsday.
I have hope because of the Russo brothers, but we'll see. We'll see. I have been enjoying
Downey as Doom.
Yeah, I feel like it might be some bait and switch. Something, you know, with all multiverse stuff, we'll see what happens. I'm not entirely sold, but we'll see.
So if the one is true, because Wisconsin has Notre Dame, and I think a lot of Badger fans are like me, we are excited to see the game in Lambeau. We're excited to play Notre Dame. We're excited for Sunday night football. We're excited for the start of the season. We think they're going to lose. Now, if they win, this is a schedule without Ohio State, Michigan, and Indiana. So if they win, suddenly this vibe that the team is saying they're putting off, that's gonna affect the fans. That's gonna infect the fans very quickly, I think.
Absolutely. And it should. I mean, this is a team that I believe, like I said, the offense, I think the run game was opening holes really well. Like you could see, and you know, the nice blocks, and you can even see like when they're not going necessarily live, but like you see them, like Eric Mateos talked about it, like thudding, and you see, oh, 3-4 yards against like the first team, you know, defense. You're like, okay. But then you see that over time, like when you continue to hit opposing defenses, three yards can turn into 5 yards by halftime. That can turn into 9 yards by third quarter, which could turn into 15 to 20 yard runs. I think that's going to be possible. I think, again, Notre Dame's defensive line and their front are fantastic. There's a bunch of NFL starters coming up and through the ranks in South Bend. But yeah, if they do, Wisconsin can get the run game going. If they can, again, have those equalizers that we talked about a bit ago. Yeah. If they pull it off, well, yeah, everything, throw out like all the expectations we're trying to talk about, like is 7-5 or 8-4 possible, which it should be. I still think with this type of schedule, 8 wins should be the standard. But then you're talking about, okay, you just beat someone that everyone thought was going to be a college football playoff contender. And you know, then everyone's talking about national championship in South Bend. Okay. You just knocked them off. Now you reset. You have to recalibrate. You absolutely have to. And so if that's the case, if they do beat Notre Dame, and I was there in 2016 when Wisconsin beat LSU. Now, I will say that was this is drastically different times. Wisconsin was coming off, what, a 10-year win, 10-win season with Paul Chryst during his first year. LSU was in the twilight of Les Miles. I think he was fired weeks later. It was actually funny because Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos were on staff on that LSU team program when Miles was there up in Lambeau. But I would argue, you know, and that was I remember just hearing and the vibes and the energy, especially after that Dakota Dixon interception that fourth quarter, you heard the stadium just erupt. And the atmosphere before that game too was just LSU fans, Wisconsin. It was probably the best atmosphere I've ever been a part of in terms of just walking around and seeing all the fans as being cordial. Yeah. Like two great fan bases. You have two great fan bases coming up on Sunday, but you know, I would say Notre Dame's in a drastically different state of where LSU was at the time. And even though they're both top five type teams, you know, I feel, you know, the Les Miles was going, you know, arrows going down. Marcus Freeman still, you know, I think has a, you know, he's one of the best college football coaches in the nation right now. And, but if they can, but if they can knock them off, I mean, I feel the vibes would be even bigger. And then you have to start talking about, okay, you know, and I hate mentioning this right now, because again, this is a very big what if, but like, okay, can Wisconsin, if you beat a number four team
again, no rules in the Winklerverse. We can,
well, that's when you talk about,
about them beating Notre Dame and going to the playoff. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Then like, do you talk, is CFP a real possibility? So, and the thing is, well, they do have to go to Iowa, right? At Halloween at Kinnick, which that's going to be a pain. You have to go to Penn State, which Penn State's rebuilding. I'm not necessarily sold on everything yet, you know, in a first year coach, which I, by the way, I think Matt Campbell's an amazing coach, but there's a lot of change over there. They have to go, they host USC, you know, in October, which is, they're a very potent offense. And then the other part of it, you know, and then, you know, you have to go to even like tricky games like UCLA. Bob Chesney is a, you know, known winner. And so I feel that they'll have a chance, you know, like LSU is going to be, that's going to be a tough game in the Rose Bowl. I'm hoping to be there, because who knows when I'll be able to get to the Rose Bowl again, so, you know, going forward. So yeah, it's, but yeah, that's a huge what if. It's hard to get into, but yeah, I mean, if they do win, that's when, yeah, all bets are off and you start recalibrating like what it could be expected of this team going forward.
This coverage from Jake and Moore, available and Charlie Grace at badgerobserver.com. It is so easy to sign up for just the free coverage. So do that at minimum, please, for our guy Jake. And then you can get in very affordably if you want to be a paid member. Jake, I know you're busting your ass. Thanks for all your hard work for us, and thanks for popping in here on the Winklerverse.
Hey, anything for you, Bart, my man. You take care. Y'all have a great Labor Day weekend. Y'all be safe, too.
Jake Kokorowski, again, stopping into the Winklerverse. Into the Winklerverse continues. We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. When you get the checkout, put in my name, and you'll get 25% off whatever you've got in your cart. The gummies, the tinctures, the balms, everything they've got. Everything they've got. What does Happy Place Hemp sell? In those gummies, tinctures, balms, and seltzers? THC. Yummy. Check it all out, happyplacehemp.com. CBD, CBN, a lot of different stuff like that. So you can get some products without the THC. Those help you sleep. The THC helps you sleep quite a bit too, I will say. And I've probably slept as good as I've been sleeping in a long time. That's maybe why this thing's going away on the top of my eye, this little tag, although now I kind of see it again today. I'm going to start wearing glasses. I look good in glasses. It's something I think that is also not true. HappyPlaceM.com, promo code BART. We were talking with Jake about the Badgers volleyball and football non-conference schedule. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I have to bring it up. I've been meaning to. The Milwaukee Panthers basketball non-conference schedule, I got to talk to Coach Bart about this. Oh, my God. You want to know what this schedule is? This is Milwaukee Panthers at USC, November 2. And then they're going to stay out there, play at Santa Clara. They're going to go home and host Ripon. Then they're going to Indiana State at TCU. They're coming back, St. Thomas. Then they're going to Florida. Then they're going to Oregon State. Then they're going to South Dakota State. Then they've got UIC at home. Back out to Little Rock. Then up the road to Vanderbilt. They're looking to be challenged. And this is something that Coach Lundy has highlighted and made a point to do, is we're in a one-bid league. We've got to test ourselves for March. And there's no better time to do it than immediately. So once we get into the Horizon, that's how it's pronounced now. Once we get into the Horizon League, we want a good batch of games behind us. We want to have been tested already. We want to know who we are. And that's what they're continuing to do at Milwaukee, a program that I am just, man, we just need them in the tournament. And he knows it. They know it. We need them in the tournament. God, we need them. So the Milwaukee Panthers basketball non-conference schedule is insane. Jake Newborn's going to join us. We're going to talk some safety tips. Please, I don't want you to die. Like I said, we don't have enough listeners that I can afford a few of you dropping off. Once I have more listeners, take all the risk you want. But until then, I need you guys to be safe. And don't die.
Stop wasting your nights on a mattress that doesn't get you. Experience the most comfortable mattress in the world, the Sleep Number Smart Bed. At the touch of a button, you can personalize your comfort. Choose firmer or softer, adjust cooler to warmer. And right now, save up to $2,500 during our massive Labor Day event. Hurry into your local Sleep Number store today, because we have your number.
We are joined today by Jake Newborn with the Wisconsin Bike Fed. We have brought you these guys before in the message, and we want to make sure that we do it again, especially as we get into the fall, as we get into darker hours earlier. I did run into one of your representatives of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. That would have been at the Tour of America's Dairyland in Shorewood.
Yeah.
And a shirt caught my eye. My dad's a big biker. It was like all of the bikes in the state of Wisconsin.
Yep. In the shape of the state. That's our best seller. Huge.
I bought it. I bought it for my dad for his birthday. It's a nice blue sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Is the version I bought. It's sharp. So buy some more. Buy some of my merch. Buy some of their merch. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing good. I rode my bike today. It's feeling good this morning so far. It's heating up later, I assume, though.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week and an interesting weather pattern. And El Nino's coming, don't forget. regarding what is the purpose, and Jake's a big Winkler verse. He's a member. Oh, Jake, yeah. Jake is in the verse. Jake's always commenting on the YouTube videos.
Like and subscribe always.
Like and subscribe. Smash that button if you want to see more Jake. But this is an important thing. We did this a couple years ago, and we want to do it again because the road is meant for everyone, despite what some people think when they're behind the wheel of a car or even, you know, on the bike. Very interesting. What is the most important thing that you want to tell everybody? People on the bike, people walking, people in their cars. Like, we do all need to use this together. Yeah. And this is a good time to remind people.
Yeah. So it's, you know, again, the fall, the hours as that daylight wanes and it gets darker, but there's still people coming home from school, coming home from work. The weather is still nice enough to be out on a bike. There's increased usage, you know, increased riders on the road. And that's when we're seeing that crashes increase. So what we're asking is everyone to keep your lights on, keep your head, you know, on a swivel, being looking left and right at intersections and being aware and giving 3 feet when you're passing a cyclist, yielding to pedestrians at crosswalks, and just, you know, like looking out for our fellow humans. All of us are human, whether you're in a car, you're biking, you're on a scooter, and we just need to look out for each other. And so, again, the most dangerous time of year is kind of these early evening hours in the fall. And so if we focus on being safe, at least then hopefully we can reduce those numbers and then go towards the rest of the year, I guess, as we as we can.
Well, it is an interesting time of the year because it is getting darker, and then daylight saving will happen.
Yeah,
and you're also back to school, and there's a lot of activities. I'm just thinking of what we have going on. We have, you know, soccer practice. There's flag football. Just coming home after school. There's kids that are really trying to milk that last bit of daylight. There's adults trying to do that too, which leads to, you know, those twilight hours. There's a lot going on. And if you don't like pay attention or look, there could be some crashes in otherwise. So that's why, I mean, it's just a busy time of the year.
Yeah. It is.
We have also this little equipment, the phone, which is going to distract people. Here's something that happened the other day. So obviously, if I'm thinking phones are distracting, I'm thinking you're walking across the intersection. You didn't see the biker or whatever. You didn't see the car. I was just walking on the sidewalk. It's a big sidewalk, so plenty of room for everybody. And then somebody behind me was on a bike, and they said, on your left, or on your right, on your left. They said on your right. Yeah. On your left is Captain America. They said on your right.
No, they probably said on your left, because they're passing on your left. But this is, I feel like I know where you're going here. Keep going there. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on my phone, and I hear this person say this. And because I'm on my phone, it does not even register. So they go, on your left again. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Still, I'm just like, what is, oh, there's a biker coming behind me. It's just this phone, man.
Okay, so let's focus on looking a little less at the phone, especially when we're out engaging with the public and in traffic. But what we'll say is, you know, what we teach cyclists and people who are riding, especially on trails where we've got people walking, we've got moms with strollers, we've got young kids who are riding their bike, learning to ride their bike, is generally say, what we're starting to teach now is actually just say passing. Instead of, because when you say passing on the left, what we've seen is a lot of people will then move to the left. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. But they say, oh, and then they move that way. So we've started teaching people just say passing or ring your bell and let people know you're there. Also, slow down when you're passing. We know
you say on your left, I'm moving to the left.
Right. Exactly. So we're trying to kind of change that mentality in the cycling world.
Well, we're so stupid.
You could shout, move the heck to your right. You know, I don't know if you want. But anyway, we're saying passing, use your bell. And it's really important that you slow down, especially on the trail with those other. It's a multi-use trail. There's other users, especially with people on e-bikes now. Can go a little faster. You know, we're really asking and I guess begging to some extent that people on new users of the trail, people who aren't used to it, that are on these e-bikes, you got to slow down when you're passing other users, or else, you know, there's a lot of people that email me and say, we want to ban them. We want to get rid of them. And so it's one of those things like, we got to start acting right, or you're going to lose, you know, the ability and that privilege. So that's our other safety importance here. Let's make sure that the place without cars is still safe for all users.
Well, I would think too with these trails, like if I want to go on a trail, I'm going to go on, like if I'm riding the bike, let's say the traditional analog way of your feet and pedals, I'm probably going on a trail if I feel pretty good about my biking. I want to bike long. I want to bike safe. I'm going to hit a trail. You know, I'm on the trail to ride the bike. That's my main motive. I want to ride this bike. I feel like maybe with the e-bikes, I'm on the trail because I want to get from point A to point B and I want to go fast. And I've never really thought of the trail, but it's quicker and there's less cars, so I'm going to go on that. But then I'm putting other people in danger. What I'm saying is it just feels like the more experienced bikers are probably on the bike, and then just anybody can grab one of these e-things and then go.
Well, you're right. I mean, the e-bike has opened up the accessibility and the availability to people to get out of their car, you know, be active, ride their bike and enjoy, you know, nature and all that. And we've had this, you know, I've been doing this job for almost 20 years. And before e-bikes, it was the pathletes. It was the people in their Lycra riding too fast on the trail because they were trying to train and work out. And so it's really this issue of, you know, trail courtesy has been going on for a long time. It's nothing new. But again, now you've got a lot of people are newer to cycling, maybe haven't been riding, and it's opened up this whole new world to them. And again, we're trying to remind those people to take it easy, pass on your left, announce it, slow down when you're around other users. Because just because an e-bike can go class 3, legal bike up to 28 miles an hour, doesn't mean you should ride that all the time. The same with a car. You know, you're automobile can go 90 miles an hour. Does that mean you ride that fast in every situation? Some people might be doing that, but
I live right off Capitol Drive.
One of the deadliest streets in our state.
Yeah. The speed limit there is 46, 49.
No, I think it's actually 30 or 35, but you might think it's 49 the way people.
I'm going by speed limit by what people are driving.
Yeah.
That's what I see. And I got to cross a crosswalk to go to school, and it is a nightmare. Any part of the road, I don't care where you are, Milwaukee, Shorewood, Brookfield, that is a deadly one. The kids thing too, like my kid won't, we're trying.
Does he know how? Or is he?
No, we were trying in the backyard with the towel and the thing and all that, but we're going to get it. And I need him to ride a bike. It's the biggest failure of a dad that I've had so far. Not a real dad, hashtag girl dad, just a boy dad. But eventually he's going to want to ride a bike and that'll be fine. But I'm almost in some way like, we've got some of these other kids in this town. And it's there's Capitol and there's Oakland. I'm in Shorewood. But for the most part, but still, like these kids are, they're 7 years old. They're riding the bike 12 blocks to get to my house. They're doing it without a parent. It's mortifying because even if they are safe, again, some of these cars are designed to not see kids.
Yeah. They're too high up. They've got a big front end. They've got all these gadgets and screens inside of there that make it just distract you. I hear you. Kids, I would say, first of all, we offer services. It's difficult sometimes for a parent to teach a kid how to ride a bike, the frustration, the connection, the communication there. So if you want to talk more about that, we'd be happy to teach your kid to ride on two wheels. We do that for hundreds of kids each year.
Okay.
I think that one important thing you hit on is that we can't rely on children to always act correctly. That's why we as adults have to look out for people, look out at intersections, slow down around kids, expect that a kid might break the rules and ride out into the road and be ready to stop because we're the adults. We're the ones in the motor vehicle. And that's, we can't put that onus on kids to make every right decision.
Well, and too, like I'm talking about little tiny humans, but also like to get even to that frame of mind when you're behind the wheel, we got to look out for big size humans. And I would think just in my traverses driving around, bike lanes are great if you allow them to be. I think there's a lot of people still behind the wheel that think that's where I park or that's where I pass.
Yeah.
The amount of make-believe lanes in this city.
Well, that's why the city particularly has been putting a lot of those bump outs in on the right because people were passing on the right and just going in a bike lane and zooming around the right, which is an illegal maneuver on the road. And that's why you're starting to see it. And again, I kind of go back to, if people can't act right, you're going to start to get things banned or made difficult for you because people can't follow the rules the way that they're written. So we need to build infrastructure and situations that make it easier to follow the rules.
On the Dan Shaney YouTube stream throughout the month, we'll be talking about the different tips and ways to stay safe, but also you will see the image of the 3 feet. And I think that's a big thing you guys are stressing too. Like everyone can use the road. We just got to do it safely.
We've all got to share the road. You've got passing, and that's a 3 feet minimum. If you've got space and you're driving, give the bicyclist a little more space. Look out for people. Watch out when you're turning. Look right, look left. And let's get everyone home safely. Everyone, whether on a bike, walking, scooter, in a car, we all want to get home safely. We're all human. We all want to get home to that, watch the Packers or the Brewers. And so let's do that together.
Yeah, we're not really saying, we're not being preachy here. We're just trying to remind people, like, you're driving a vehicle. Look out for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are saying. And we have to say it because, I drive like the die drive. Who got traded today?
We're going to fix that. We're going to fix that for you, Mark.
So I got to be better at that. We all got to be better.
It all month long. You're going to rack it into your own brain. If we can change one mind, it's going to be Bart's.
And that's a very hard mind to change. So good luck to you. But we're already on team bikers. So that's good. WisconsinBikeFed.org. You can check out more. They got a lot of guides. They got a lot of events. Again, they can maybe I'll see you if I'm too frustrated with my kid, if he can't figure it out. But he's got to want to. But we'll see. I'm also like, want to ride your bike? No, I want to watch YouTube. Okay, fine. I got to be better. Anything else that we should stress, Jake?
I would just say save the date, Saturday, December 5th, for our annual Santa Cycle Rampage ride. That is the world's largest holiday-themed costume bike ride for charity. So save that date. More details coming soon.
The 5th, huh?
Yep.
I might want to get involved in that, TBD.
We'll talk more about that. We should.
I like this idea. All right. Jake, a pleasure to have you, not just here, but in the Winklerverse always. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jake.
Yep. Thank you, Bart.
Thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse. The other big sports news, we have a suspension going on with the Clippers. So they got in trouble for Kawhi Leonard because they paid him through sponsorship deal that was not legal and circumvented the cap. So what does this mean exactly for the Clippers? It means they just lost a lot of assets, and Steve Ballmer has also been suspended for the year. So they really made a big mistake. Here's what happened to the Clippers. $30 million fine, a one-year ban on the owner, Steve Ballmer. They're forfeiting 5 first-round picks from 29 to 33. Lawrence Frank, the president, banned for 6 months. Jillian Zucker, president of business ops, you're out for a year. Dennis Robertson, Uncle Dennis, 5-year ban and a $700,000 fine for Kawhi. So now he should be able to be a Raptor. But this is like the biggest punishment ever. And they had to do this. And Steve Ballmer, he needs to rein it in here. I know he wants to win very badly. And if you're a Clippers fan, great. But that also got your team into a little bit of trouble. Now, this has a lot of Bucks fans thinking, well, does this mean Gary Trent's fucked and the Bucks are fucked because we paid him 4 for $64 on possibly a handshake deal? The Bucks, I hope there's not enough paper trail where it's like, hey, take this salary, we'll give you more. That would be very stupid. Also, the NBA needs to factor in. You were talking about the Clippers, a contending team, and Kawhi Leonard, an MVP player. Please look at that situation different than the Bucks, who suck, and Gary Trent Jr., who also sucks. It is not worth the time you're going to spend investigating. David in Buffalo called to talk about golf.
Hey, Bart, what's up? This is David from Buffalo. Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world. It's not even close. Hey, great seasons from Chris Goddard, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark. Rory won the Masters. Great years for those guys, but nobody is as close to Scottie Scheffler. And nobody on the tour is even close to this guy. Let's just be honest, man. Scheffler's consistency. In a down year, Bart, he won 2 playoff events. He was in the hunt pretty much every time he teed it up. He probably could have won 6 times this year if things broke his way. Say at Augusta, the 3M in Minnesota. Maybe he'd throw in the U.S. Open as well there. He had a great chance, to definitely win a lot more. And it just shows that, there's a lot of depth out there, but the consistency this man has is incredible. I'd put it this way, man. He plays golf like Jack Nicklaus, but he intimidates people like he's Tiger Woods, on a Sunday. Look at the back 9 days. CBS Sports had a great graphic towards the end of the broadcast. The Jim Nance and his broadcast colleagues were talking about it. Aberg, Hovland, all these guys that had a chance to go after him on the back 9. Ryan Gerard, these guys all struggled, man. They all struggled. Scheffler shoots a 66 with 2 bogeys. And look, I mean, credit to a guy like Ryan Gerard. Last year, he was flying, across the world to play in Mauritius to try and get in the Masters. And now he finishes 3rd in the FedEx Cup. Phenomenal year for a guy like that. I mean, unbelievable year. But the reality is this. you know, Scheffler's on a different level than all these guys. And these people in the golf media need to stop going on about Ludvig Åberg. He's got a great swing. He's won a couple times. Dude, he can't close out a tournament. I mean, he's the equivalent of the main eventer who can do all the flips and the high-risk move, but he's never had the world championship. Let's be honest, man. You know, Scottie Scheffler is the best player. It's a runaway right now. We're not talking about a Ryder Cup. We're talking about the PGA Tour and majors. If you're betting right now or you're just a golf fan, Scheffler is the man to beat in the tournament the week before the President's Cup, because I'm sure he's going to tee it up there to get ready for the President's Cup. Thanks for the time, buddy. I'll talk to you soon, man. Football's coming up, and I can't wait.
Love you, David. I love that you're hanging on. I love that you're into the pod. I love that you found me on Infinity, and I love that you're here, and I love your golf takes. Now, I don't have time to break them down or anything you said because my computer's dying, and I need to charge it. Also, I'm hungry, and so I'm going to make a sandwich. I don't have any bread, but thankfully, I still have 12 packs of buns from when I overbought at the tailgate. So, if anyone like needs buns desperately today and no stores are out, or the stores are out of, if you need bread, I have bread. I have bread for you. I have bread. Thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse.